Good morning. The section of scripture for today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 12. First Thessalonians 5, 12 through 19. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Sends the reading.
Children, I'd like you to come on up.
If you would.
Good morning.
Do you like it more when your family gets along or when there's a lot of
fighting?
When my family gets along.
Yeah, me too. They ignore you. The first one, right?
Yeah, me too. Do you like it better when, if you tell
a secret, like you bought your mom a special present for Christmas, but you don't want anyone to know, or you certainly don't want mom to know, and you tell somebody in the family, and they blab your secret? Do you like it when people keep the secret?
Or give the secret away? When they keep the secret. You know, most of us understand this, even when we're little. We understand that we like it a whole lot better when we get along.
We like it a whole lot
better when we can keep a secret. Do you like it better when people share or when people are greedy? Yeah, me too. So that if
they get a cookie or get a bunch of cookies, they share the cookies with everybody in the family or with you too, right? Well, this is really important because okay, and it talks about, now whether we're little or whether we're big,
this is like a big family, and when it gets along, we do a lot better. We don't keep secrets.
Or we're not very good about being nice to people, or we're not listening, or we're doing things that are hurting us. That really hurts people. And so what I'm going to talk about in the sermon today, and I especially want you to listen near the end, we're going to be talking about how God works in the middle of good times as well as bad times, all right? And I want you to listen to that. If I use the word quench, what does the word quench mean? If I said, this is a fire burning and I'm going to quench it, what do you think I'm going to do to the fire? Put it out. If you have a burning thirst and you get a great big glass of ice cold water and we say it quenches your thirst, that means it puts out the fire of your thirst. Well, here's one thing we're not supposed to quench. We're not supposed to quench the Holy Spirit, who's a fire, who burns and loves us. Can you remember that today? That's at the end of the sermon, all right? Good. I got lots of choices for you today, so I hope it doesn't take too long.
Yeah. You got your
priorities in order. That's right. You want to help her pick one there? Just kind of reach in. Open it up nice for her. There's two or three different kinds. All right. You just pick the one you want. Whoop. Oh, lost a finger there. It's all right. You didn't mean it. It's okay. Say excuse me. You're welcome. Yeah, you get
one.
You get one too. Grandpa gets one too, yeah. Oh, you got one. Good. You know the rule. Help Grandpa. There we go. Give one to Grandpa too. Yeah, Grandpa gets one too because he likes those. He likes to pretend he's. Obviously, the week and the events of the week have certainly had a degree of effect on my heart, my life, my circumstances. But one of the things I've found is that God is good, and it doesn't become just words. It becomes something you're feeling in all times and all circumstances. And if I could tell you all of them, I would, but I can't. I just want you to know that God has taken me from the seriousness and the uncertainty of a father having a stroke to all kinds of different places this week. And in each situation, he has continued to prove faithful. And just outside the parameters of anything that has to do with me. And I've just appreciated that manifesting. And it's more like you look back over your shoulder and see it rather than something you experience each time. When I picked this text, now I want you to, Christian, if you could dig out that last song that Mike sang, great song. The second verse particularly, if you could put it up on the screen somehow. And I wanted that song to be a kind of a ministry backdrop. And Mike and I didn't talk, but the Holy Spirit did. And so I just said, oh, Lord, is this a confirmation? He's been so good about this. And we try and tell you what it's like sometimes, and some of you already know, and some of you have just begun to taste the sweetness of God. But in this particular song, you have the entire message of the thoughts that we need to be alert to in this Thessalonians passage. Again, I was struck by the need that Paul has of constantly redirecting his people in the church. Get along. But I go, that's really not too different than our families, is it? Every once in a while we get chafed in our own families, and we sometimes struggle with those closest to us the most. And, you know, this directive of getting along is absolutely vital. But I wanted to focus today, if we could, in this particular thing in chapter 5, if you'll turn back there again. I had Tom read the whole context for you. So it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's 16 through the section of the 20 here, section through 20, yes, or 19, excuse me. One of the things God is trying to get us to grapple with and understand is that he has not left us or forsaken us. Remember when I showed you the short little video last Sunday of Abraham and the reality of what Abraham was feeling as he had to sacrifice his son? A lot of that emotion you saw there is not recorded in Scripture. What's recorded in Scripture is obedience. And I understand that for the sake of that movie, that is probably, at least has the possibility of being real. But the reality is that Abraham has this ability because of some of the things he's already experienced and some of the blessings God already has given him, to step right into obedience. And I think that what he wants us to understand, and the thing I tried to point out last Sunday a little bit, is that that call to obedience is extremely critical to God. If you love me, obey me. That's what Jesus said, and he wanted that directly to connect into my mind. He said, don't talk about mushy stuff and how I give you warm, fuzzy feelings. He said, that's not what's going to help you survive the circumstances of your life. It's not going to be enough to carry you when your father's sick or when you're in conflicted situations or when you're dealing with uncertainties at school or anyway, those warm fuzzy feelings are okay, but they are not what hold you. They are not what anchor you. They are not what are going to carry you when the thing in front of you seems to be out of control and you're being called upon to bring the power and the presence of the Spirit right into the middle of a situation You can't talk about how fuzzy God makes you feel and how warm you feel, because that's not what I want you to know. I want you to obey. When I call you to obey, I want to see you move. I want to see you understand it. Now, we understand this a little bit in the military, how critically important it can be for a person to move when the sergeant, or whoever it happens to be, says, step up, do it now, or give me cover, or whatever the words are. And you see it at least in the movies, and that kind of image of obedience brings the success of the entire thing moving forward or accomplishing its objectives. But obedience in our world is very, very difficult. We have a, I don't know if I should call it an American mentality or if I should call it an adolescent mentality. I remember going through college and one of the chants was question everything, you know, especially if they're older than 30. You know, what do they know? And suddenly I'm over 30 and I still, maybe it's 70, but you understand, it's this mentality that creeps into our lives. And so here comes God through Paul into this situation, and he's speaking to the Thessalonians. The backdrop is the end of the world. He's just finished saying to these people, you're not ignorant. You're not unaware of how this thing's going down. You're not stupid about what's happening. You're watching it happen, and I've told you it's going to happen, and I want you to be aware. I don't want you to be afraid. But he calls them right through the beginning of this chapter. If you look back and you read it, you're going to find at the beginning of this chapter, you're not in darkness. You're people of the light. I expect you to live as people in the light, and I expect you to live this way because it's necessary now more than ever. It's necessary in this particular time where the conflict and the uncertainty of our culture seems to be multiplying, that you know who you are, you understand where you're going, and you understand how we got where we are, and you have the answer. So whether it's a friend, a neighbor, somebody else in your life, I want you to be anchored here in my word, anchored with me, knowing what I have revealed to you, so that you can be strong, so that you can be that marker, that pillar, that light in the darkness, so that they understand this is who you are. You recognize how we got into here and where we're going. Then into the middle of this challenge, as he goes on and near the end there, he speaks these words from 12, which I then had Tom read to you. Respect those who work hard among you. Hold them in highest regard. And then it goes on, live at peace with others. Each other, notice that. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. So it isn't just sit. There's this move. This is rubbing on each other. There's this actual sincerity where in a real family, you rub, you push, you talk, you don't ignore. If a son or a daughter, a brother or sister is behaving badly, you push on that a little bit. You talk it through. You work through that. Warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, and help the weak. And be patient with everyone. All right? So you begin to understand. And this is sometimes this is a judgment from you. Oh, she's so weak. He's so weak. He's so timid. He's so afraid. And whatever that is, whatever emotion or response, those words that we have in that section stir me to respond. Well, then give him encouragement. Well, I don't encourage him if you see him as holding back or being afraid or timid. Then step into that. Warn him if he needs that. So you're picking that up, all right? Verse 15, make sure nobody pays wrong or pays back wrong for wrong. I think that starts between husbands and wives first. I'll get him. I'll punish her. I think it works with brothers and sisters. He broke my toy. He wouldn't let me use the car when I wanted to use the car. He ran the car out of gas. You know, as you get older, the lines that cross are a little different than when you're dealing with toys. A maturity level, don't pay wrong back for wrong. Unbelievable maturity level, but I'm not done. But always try to be kind to each other, the change, okay? And to everyone else, those we know close, those far away. Now here's the part that started to minister to my life and I wanted you to hear again. Be joyful always. This concept of in everything, be grateful. It's really what it says in the Greek. It goes, in everything, be grateful. Be filled with gratefulness. Dear God, I am grateful that my father's in the hospital. And I go, God, is that what you're asking me to say? Because you feel conflicted sometimes. The same way, I am grateful that my school is struggling with a particular thing. I am grateful that you have me in this area of uncertainty in my life. I go, Lord, this is so powerful. I didn't like the word, and it, like I said, when I studied the translation, I like the word joy. I go, okay, I'm trusting you, God. No, he says, be grateful. Be full of this mentality, this attitude of gratefulness about whatever is going on. It says, in everything, in the whole thing, in every possibility you're dealing with, I want you to express gratitude, gratefulness. And I thought, what a different sense of translation. And yet it's the same thing. It goes, Lord, I'm grateful for my father having a stroke. And I slowed that down enough, and I go, last night, my two daughters volunteered to stay with my dad. You may not know everything about my family or my kids, but that was just a wonderful blessing to see my daughters do that. I didn't know they were going to do that, but it gave myself and Nadine a break, and Mom a break, obviously. And as I took coffee and something over to them this morning, we had this wonderful talk, but I go, God has opened up an opportunity. I'm sitting there talking with my father. I'm sitting there with my daughters who are smiling at me going, you better be good to us. Right, I will be. But here's what's really neat. I have an opportunity to pray with my dad and pray over my dad. And in the middle of a terrible, sad, difficult situation, I am aware God is absolutely in control. I am aware that this is a work of God. This is what God is doing in my father's life right now. He's working this thing in my mother's heart. He's working this thing certainly in me as an individual and a son and in our family. Each one of us is being touched and affected by this differently. But I know this much is true, that God has not turned his back on me. That God has not stopped loving my father. That God has not quit on my family. That God has chosen in this moment, at this time, to work in this situation and is calling me to respond and move forward the same way he calls you and I to respond and speak and be obedient. And into the middle of that situation, God continues to bring a spirit of gratefulness, not necessarily for the tragedy or the difficulty or anything, but in the middle of it, that spirit that says, Lord, you are in control. You love my father. And what's my prayer? Lord Jesus, I love my dad. I pray for his healing. But Lord Jesus, if this is my dad's time to go, please take him comfortably and quietly. And Dad and I know what we're praying when we pray that. And I've been able to do that many, many times with him because you sit with them overnight and they wake up at all times of different hours and times and you have this opportunity and God just brings this graciousness and this peace, not because of the situation, but right in the middle of it and through it, and you begin to understand that even in this situation, my father is ministering to my daughters. He's speaking about things that make them giggle. He's remembering when he was a little kid at Roosevelt Park climbing on the monkey bars. And I go, my daughters are experiencing something that I certainly could never give them, which is the reality that all of us will face. Right? We read it in books. And he grew up and he grew old and then he died. And even then we know now, because we have the one book, that that's not the end. And then he went to be with the Lord and he got, and you begin to understand there's this, the Word of God is ministering across the board, even in the middle of this difficult and tragic situation. So that phrasing of being grateful, express your thanks for whatever the situation is. It's a statement of obedience. I thank you, Jesus, obediently. I am trusting in you, Jesus, out of obedience, knowing that you love this parent, this child, this situation. And in the middle of it, you're going to work because there is that larger calling upon my life. And it's not just limited here to this space in myself or my immediate family. It's not even just limited to my extended family or my ministry here. God whispers and says, this is a calling that I want to bring not only through you in this moment, but I have people to bless who will hear that story or respond to it, or one day, just like we had to respond to the story of Abraham. The story of Abraham is right here, one knife, his son, his life. It seems like it's this small, and we look at it now, after 4,000 years or so, and we look at it and we go, oh my goodness, this has blessed life after life after life. It has demonstrated the power of obedience. It has pushed us to say, are you walking in the footsteps like Abraham? Are you willing to stand up and rise and move to a different spot, to be called into a different place, to be settling down and to be willing to sacrifice everything for the Lord? And I go, that call has never changed. It has gone, that's what we talked about last Sunday. It came to the disciples. It comes to you and I. It is the same ministry, the same call. In every situation, give thanks. In all of these, be grateful. And then it says, pray continually. And I go, if I could just speak to you in my heart, I go, this spiritual warfare that we're in is stronger, not weaker. Now, Scripture has warned us it's going to get darker, that we're going to have to become brighter, that there are these attitudes and behaviors and forces that are going to try and oppress and crush. And I'm going, my job is to not necessarily fight every one of those oppressions out there. My job is to glow brighter. I am not the answer, but I have the answer in Jesus Christ. And when we start to understand, I am not the light in one sense, but I possess the light of the world, and my job is to bring the light of the world into these people's lives where they can see it and feel it and know it and experience it, whether they're in a similar situation to mine or whether in something else. And so I'm finding myself walking through places, praying the power in the presence of God, and I'm going, do it. Start praying it when you walk down the hall of a hospital. Start praying it as you walk through the hallway of your own home. Start praying it every time you walk into your son or daughter's room. Start praying it when you walk down the halls of your college campus. I claim this campus for you, Jesus, and in your name I proclaim victory over all the forces of darkness. And I say, this is your land, and this is your place, and I want to be your light. And whatever word God gives you, you begin to proclaim it. You are a light. It means that you have to be doing it. And if you don't want to do it out loud, it's okay. You can say, it's okay. Probably not when people are watching you. But you understand, God is calling you. I want it to burn brighter. I want the demonic to know it has no authority here. I want you to claim your roommates. I want you to claim your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I want you to claim your neighbor. I want you to speak righteousness over them. I want you to rescue their mind. I want you to enter into the battle, the warfare. Why? I want you to be grateful. Well, how come I learned about this person going through this divorce? Proclaim victory over that. Speak against it. Start to understand, enter into the battle for that marriage. There are forces inside and out trying to destroy what that man and woman committed to. They have not just told you so you can be around. They've told you so that God can use that. This is a situation. Be grateful. Thank you, Jesus, for finding about these two people that I love very much who are going through this divorce. And in your name, Jesus, I begin to claim that marriage. I begin to call righteousness into it. I begin to call healing into that husband who's in rebellion. I begin to call fullness of your spirit into the wife that's being ignorant. And I'm going, do you understand? The light has got to be moving and burning. It's got to be something that God senses and sees and knows. He can feed you so that you exercise this obedience, so that whether I'm sitting at work, whether I'm walking down the hallway, whether I'm looking at my principal or a fellow teacher, whether I'm in the middle of spiritual warfare or in the middle of a happy time, I begin to call and claim this spot for the Lord. And so it goes on and says, pray continually. Lord Jesus, like Fiddler on the Roof, why haven't you made me a rich man? Harmon, you couldn't handle it. You can't handle what you have. Why are you so blunt? God is in relationship with me. God is not quitting on me or you. God is working through the middle of your misery, your challenge, your opportunity, every part of your life. He's got something to guide you, to bless you, to encourage you, to minister to your heart and life. Pray continually is really that directive. And then the next point, give thanks in every situation. This concept of giving thanks, be thankful, express thankfulness. In the Greek, it's the first thing in the verse. Express thanks in every situation, as it points out. All right? And then it says, for the thing, this thing you're going through, I want you to listen to it now. This thing you're going through, it says it's the will of God. This means it's the determination of God. My God, who loves my Father far more than I ever will on my best day, has moved this thing to be a part of His life right now, permitted it, allowed it, whatever word is most comfortable for you, but this is God's will for my Father at this point in time. And I'm going, do you understand? It's saying, be thankful, for this thing is a determination of God in Christ Jesus. That means it's filtered through the love of Jesus. That means it's dropped into my hands or my circumstances because of and through the love of Jesus expressed for me. And then he says, into you, into your life, into your circumstances, into your situation. And you begin to understand what God is trying to say through Paul is that none of these things are going to happen just on their own. They're going to happen filtered gently and lovingly through a God who cares more about my Father than I do. And through a situation that I can't always understand. So as you sit there and remember the things with Pastor King last year, and some of you are closer to that than others, and I look at you and I go, there were all kinds of emotions we felt. And yet right now, if I call Pastor King on the phone and say, how are you doing today? He will say this, God was in control. God has blessed me. I am doing well. My family is doing well. I praise God for even the things he's gone through. And even when he had to stand his ground and be uncompromising, he doesn't have to look back on anything from here or at school or anyplace else and hang his head because he was obedient. And in that obedience, we sat there as a penny pot, how close you are, with our mouths open, going, whoa, what's going on here? At the same time, he stepped forward in this obedience, and I'm going, and God is blessing that. Now, is it perfect? I can't say, and I don't want to step too far ahead on that, but I do want to say this out loud. I go, God is calling us to that kind of obedience. Pick up and drop down in a brand new place. You know, give yourself that opportunity. So, it says here, in everything be grateful, because this is the determination of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God is calling us to that. And then he adds the last one, which I wanted to focus, and there's more there. It says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Remember, kids, when I use the word quench? Quench means don't pour water on what God is doing. Oh my goodness, don't ever pour water on what the Spirit's doing. You want to know what the sin against the Holy Spirit is? Pouring water on what the Holy Spirit's doing. Or pouring water on what the Holy Spirit's doing in somebody else's life. So you be very careful before you step into something and say, God isn't working in those situations. All right? You be very careful because why? I don't want you to quench the work of the Spirit. What's the work of the Spirit? We can see it narrowly. Well, he's got to deal with this situation. And I whisper and I go, the whole work of the Spirit is this big. There are a million people in that direction, a million people in that direction, all within walking distance of a day or so that need salvation. I am working in more than just your little moment. I don't want you to quench my Spirit in you Because if I call you, walk off in that direction, and you address and speak to everyone you come across, you do it. God's call is asking us to do it. And if you walk out a day's walk in that direction and talk to everybody, you're going to have those million people. You'd be stunned by how many people you can meet in the 25 miles or 35 miles you can walk in a day. And you start to understand, God is whispering to you. He said, nothing slips through my fingers that hasn't first been ministered to in the mercy and the grace of Christ Jesus. You are my child. You are precious to me. And I have and begun this work in you, and I will bring it to completion. And I look back and I start thinking about every prayer that I've prayed and everything I've asked God to do in my life related to my family, related to my children, related to my parents, related to hearing their prayers for me. And I go, God has not forsaken us. And you and I have to step into that no matter what our circumstances are. And so as God calls us to it, I want us to pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, with joy in all of that. And I want you, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Lord Jesus, your Spirit needs freedom to work in my life and in our church and in the lives of each one of us. Lord Jesus, we need your Spirit to open our eyes to bigger ministry, to greater opportunity, to greater conviction. Lord Jesus, we want to clothe ourselves in your righteousness. We want to put on the helmet of salvation and the armor and the belt of truth and the things, Lord, that you want us to wear, and carry the sword of your word and begin to stand like soldiers and centurions for the brothers and the sisters who are wounded and beaten down. You haven't just called us to be here. You've called us to be a light. You have called us to be walking prayers through the hallways and through the stores and as we walk down the places where we see people shopping. You've called us to be prayer warriors. You've called us to bring righteousness into the most difficult and dark of situations and circumstances. You've called us, Father, to walk righteously with a fullness of integrity that comes from being intimate with you all the time. And so we're asking, Father, that you would work in our lives. We're asking, Father, that no matter what our circumstances are going to demand of us in the next days, weeks, months, or certainly years, that you would find here a place of obedience, that you would find here your Spirit, a place where you can rest and move, and people's obedience is going to be a part of their lives. Lord, we bless you and we praise you today. We thank you for your love. Help us never to quench the work of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.